Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to another episode of Kane Collects. And as always, I always like to start the podcast episodes just thanking everyone for their support. As you know, you can download for free on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcasts. And that's Google Play, Amazon, Apple. Like I said, wherever you get your podcasts. And feel free to tell a friend or family member if you enjoy this stuff. You guys know I talk anything that you can collect. And that's shoes, cards, you know. I did liquor my last episode. It was scotch and whiskey. So if you want to learn more about that, make sure you go back and listen to that episode. If you missed any episodes, you can always go back and check them out. Without further ado, let's get to this episode. This episode is going to be on... It took me a while. I've always wanted to do this episode, but always things get in the way, get busy, whatever. But this is... I think it's the perfect time to do it, actually. This is going to be the Pokemon episode. And I'm going to bring on one of my guys, one of my Pokemon guys, Sean. We met at card shows. I go to pretty much a card show almost every weekend, you know, kind of just what I like to do, dig, value, and just check out everything. I met Sean at on the card show circuit. Sean will get you to plug. He's on YouTube. He's on whatnot, everything like that. Sean, thanks for joining me, man.
I appreciate it. MMD Cards on YouTube and on whatnot. But go ahead, gang.
MMD Cards on YouTube and on whatnot, right? Yeah, so make sure you subscribe, like all stuff. He's got great YouTube content. I know you're getting more into it, too. You're putting up cameras at the shows and things like that. So that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, we're trying to really get focused on the vendor POVs. I know that's got popular lately. So trying to bring the Pokemon side of it. I know sports is really popular as well.
So it's the crazy thing is, people, that me and Sean met when I met you, you were, you know, just regular dealer vendor, but like it's not like your full time gig or anything, but you're doing it, you know, side hustle on the weekends and whatnot. But you mostly did sports, you know, and I don't know when you started where I noticed it, but you always had some TCG on the side, like some Pokemon, some other stuff, One Piece, whatever. But I don't know when it was, but at some point you just went full Pokemon. I went to your tables and saw your showcase and everything. There was no more sports left and all that stuff. And can you talk to me why you decided to just go full on TCG and Pokemon? I know you still enjoy sports and watch sports, but as far as the vending side, why did you switch over, man?
Yes, full TCG and basically just Pokemon and One Piece. I've always kind of done Pokemon with the sports in the beginning. I'd say 2020, maybe closer to 2021, where we kind of really did stuff. Before, it was just like me collecting and just trying to get cards, you know, everyone with the COVID times, just trying to line up and grab some cards. And I was actually into Pokemon first. My cousin actually mentioned that Pokemon was coming back, and I collected as a kid, base set, Neo, all that kind of stuff from back then. And I couldn't get my hands on any Pokemon cards. And then he suggested, hey, sports cards are kind of popping off, so you should grab some of those, and then maybe you could trade for Pokemon. So I ended up grabbing a whole bunch of different sports cards. I didn't know what I was even doing at the time. So I'm just grabbing whatever everyone else was grabbing. And it got to a point to where I couldn't trade some of them, or I couldn't find some local people to do trades with. So I'm like, well, let me just open a couple boxes and see what happens. And I'm more attracted to football. So that was kind of like the, you know, prism, optic kind of stuff like that. And then I started seeing the value in it. And that was where I really kind of took off with sports. And I was like, whoa, this is kind of crazy. Like, how are cards, you know, worth three or four times the amount as the box? So we kind of kept going and going with sports cards, mostly football and basketball. I have no idea about baseball. And then we got to a point to where retail for sports was not profitable. And it was just not fun anymore. They took a lot of the hits away. They took a lot of the numbered cards and parallels, things that you could really get. And I was just torn away from what it was to what it became. So then I started transitioning a little bit more towards Pokemon again. It was a little bit more readily available at the stores. It wasn't as hot, you know, 2 years ago. Just a little bit taken off, but still, like, sports cards would be wiped before Pokemon. Like, Pokemon would still sit on the shelves. And then I started seeing YouTube videos of people doing sports card shows as vendor POVs or buyer POVs. And I got into the craze. But then I was like, hey, what if we did that with Pokemon? You know? And I started looking up people on YouTube for Pokemon at shows. And there was barely any people at the time. And this was like 2 years ago. And I'd say the first few people that I even watched were probably Bulbasaur and TCG Empire. And they were like one of the first few that actually had a vendor POV of TCG instead of just sports, but they're at a sports card show.
Yeah.
So that kind of caught my eye. And I'm like, you know, if you have a sports card show and you have, you know, 200 or 300 tables, maybe 80% is going to be sports. So I was like, okay, it's a little bit more niche. Let's try to bring TCG a little bit more to, you know, Michigan and see how it does. And, Michigan does pretty good with TCG.
Can you tell people real quick what TCG stands for those that don't even know what you and I are talking about?
Yeah, it's a trading card game. So, you know, you can do Magic, you can do Digimon, Dragon Ball, One Piece. It all falls under the same category of a trading card game where you can play against one another, play against an opponent, and one of you guys wins the card game. You know, I know a lot of people collect the cards, but it is also a game that you can play against someone else in like a tournament or just for fun. But yeah.
Would you say like Pokemon and was that like your first love or like, you know, and you got back to it? Or would you say sports was and then you just got into the, but you went Pokemon?
I'd say Pokemon was probably a huge, huge factor in the childhood. I did love football back then too. My dad really liked football. So I had like, you know, 90s like Score and stuff like that. Like just super cheap stuff that you can get at the store, you know.
The store stuff, whatever, yeah. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I've got like Kurt Warner's and all kinds of stuff like that from like the 90s, but nothing valuable. But I ended up going for a lot more interested in Pokemon, and then the Game Boy games came out, so that just kind of took me along. And then
You just took a pivot and you went this way, which, by the way, like I said in the beginning of this episode, I think it's a good time to talk about this because right now as we speak, I feel like TCG and specifically Pokemon is blowing up and going out of control right now. I feel like it's, and I text you on the side here and you know, like you were mentioning kind of like, this is like, your analogy was like, this is like pandemic plus everyone is a quarterback in the draft and they all hit or something. Like it's going nuts right now. And if look for you, that's a good thing that you already went to this route. Cause I know other people always, you know, trying to chase when that's probably the worst thing you can do really is chase, but you know, you got to try to be ahead of the game. It sounds like, you didn't know, not that you knew this was coming, but you know, you decided to switch because you're right with sports. Retail is a bloodbath at this point. I don't even know if it's worth buying anymore. The prices still seem a little too high for what you're able to get. Unless you, and most people can't afford hobby boxes, you know, and they have to join a break or whatever. And some people don't want to do that. So, I mean, you're left with retail and there's just, it seems like mass produced stuff and you're not getting anywhere near your money back. And not that you're supposed to, but it just, the fun isn't there, it seems like, as much as it was. And so I understand why you switched it up, honestly. I don't do a ton of ultra modern stuff, so I'm not crazy affected by that. You know me, I hit the 90s hard. I'm a big Jordan guy, so I feel like, talk about niche, I feel like I'm the only one of like two or three, four guys in this area that does that stuff, so it's still fun for me. But when I go to these card shows now, and you know this as well, you mentioned earlier, it's like 80% sports. I don't feel like that is the case anymore. It's pretty nuts. It's almost 50-50, if not more, Pokemon TCG, which probably maybe infuriates the sports card collector. But, you know, But it is what it is. That's what's hot. And I know these show, the guys that run the shows, and they're trying to get vendors. I mean, your money is good as the sports guy's money as far as renting a table out. So, but this Pokemon craze is out of control. I want to ask you, what started this? And is do you think this is sustainable? Or is there going to be like some kind of, you know, bust, like balloon popping, like with sports and the pandemic?
I think there is a bubble here, to be completely honest. As much as we'd like to, you know, have a dream about Pokemon going up forever, it's just not sustainable. It's not, because there are cards that have gone up like 300% in like 2 months.
Oh my god. And you're like, no, this is not right, right? Like
it doesn't make sense. And the people that are buying it, I feel like, are either already at the top, you know, the top 2%, top 5%, that don't really care if they lose, you know, 50% of their money in the game. It doesn't affect them. But a lot of the public that is just like chasing the Pokemon, you could say now, I feel like there's going to be a burn later.
So what caused this? Like, did some kind of influence throw it out? Is it like a pump and dump? Like, what all of a sudden, is it a bunch of like, I don't want to put you in this category because I think you're a true like just collector, but is it people that are just like the flipper, the investor that sees, you know how they invaded the sports card industry. Now have they said, you know what? Oh, I'm pivoting to Pokemon and TCG because I see money over here. Like, what has caused this kind of like rapid boom right now? Because Pokemon's always been popular, but I just feel like it's like I said, it's 50% of card shows I go to now.
Yeah. So I think it really has to do with timing. It's just crazy timing. And as much as I hate bringing anything political into it, I think with Trump's reelection, with crypto going up, with the specific sets that came out a few months ago to the current sets that are coming out for Pokemon, it was just a perfect storm. And it really, really is surpassing the COVID peaks right now, which is pretty crazy.
That's strong.
Yeah. The COVID peaks were mainly vintage and things that were very low pop in the 90s, early 90s and mid era, which was like, you know, mid 90s to higher 90s. And they were just very, very short printed sets. But now everything is ultra modern. Everything is like the past 5 years of cards is what people want. They see the most potential growth in those cards. And so instead of chasing, you know, the base set Charizard, which you have to pay, you know, whatever amount, 20,000, blah, 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 whatever grade it is, and maybe it goes up 1,000, you can chase a $200 card, and in 2 months, it'll be 1,000. So it's like you're tripling, quadrupling money in a matter of a few months. So
is it kind of like prospecting in a way? Like, you know how like sports guys do with like rookies and young quarterbacks or young, you know, in the NBA guards usually get the most love. Like, is it like that with the Pokemon? Like, is that what they're trying to do? Like, figure out what's going to blow up and triple 4X or whatever?
That's a good analogy. It is almost like prospecting, but instead of the stats, it's the artwork. It's the Pokemon itself. It's the set itself. So a lot of people will gravitate towards sets that have Pikachus, that have Charizards, the Eeveelutions, you know, and this set that just came out, Prismatic Evolutions, has a ton of Eeveelutions. And this set, right off the bat, you're seeing retail fly off the shelves. You're seeing people lining up at Targets again, people lining up at Walmarts again. You're seeing the TikToks. People are fighting over the cards at the Costcos. It's getting pretty bad to the point where it's like, whoa, we didn't really, really see that during COVID. We're seeing a lot more of it and on a daily basis. And then by the time you're at the end of the week, you've probably seen 10 videos, you know, across the country of people fighting for cards.
So it's crazy. You mentioned like stats and stuff. How the heck do you prospect Pokemon? And it's not like these guys are playing on, you know, oh, you got two games tonight or a game on Sunday. You know, like what? How the heck can you prospect TCG? Like, how do you know, or how do you have the intuition on what you think is going to go, you know, blow up next?
I'd say a lot of it is due to art and the art that plays into the actual card. So there's a chance that the card can go up because of playability, you know, in decks and stuff that people want to collect. And then maybe it has a chaser card that you can is also playable. So then, you know, you want to bling out your deck essentially and have like high value cards in your deck to kind of just play with. But then you've got the other cards that are just people want the artwork. People want the illustrator. You know, it's a crazy thing, but the people that illustrate the card actually matters. A lot of people have favorite artists, and once they do a Pokemon that they like and it's their favorite artist, that card usually tends to go up over time. And right now we're seeing, like I said before, a little bit of a spiking. There's not just a steady growth of supply and demand. Like, demand is just way too high, supply is just way too low. So it's getting to a point to where you're not going to be able to find Pokemon card that I don't think for a few months, at least on the shelves.
Wow. So is there a difference also, like, with sports cards, like hobby and retail in the TCG Pokemon, umbrella?
Well, hobby is a little bit different for sports because they have the numbered cards. Pokemon still doesn't have numbered cards. Parallel-wise, if we're going to relate it to sports, you can still hit the same amount of things in a retail product that you would get in a booster box, essentially, is what Pokemon has at 36 packs for a box.
Okay.
Retail, you know, usually you're getting maybe 10 packs or less in a box. So you kind of really want the booster box. It's going to give you the best value, which is a little bit different than sports because...
But you can hit the same stuff, though.
But you can hit the same stuff, yes.
And that's the most important. Like in sports, you know, hobby, retail, you hit different things, but you could actually hit the same things in Pokemon, right? Mm-hmm. For the most part, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why when they hit the retail shelves, like you mentioned earlier, people are going nuts. Like, they just want their hands on anything they can get. And I've seen the videos like everyone else, the Costco's and the, you know, Targets and whatnot. I just couldn't believe it. And, you know, I'll text you every now and then. Like, I don't know. Like, to me, I don't know. Maybe it's someone that doesn't follow sports when they look at a sports car shelf and they're just like, this is all, you know, might as well be, you know, in a different language. I don't understand it. That's what it's to me when I go to a store like Walmart or Target or, you know, Costco, and I look at the Pokemon TCG side. I have no idea what I'm looking at all. And, I'm sorry to sound ignorant. You know what I mean?
You're good.
Be like, hey, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about, man. So it's crazy out there. So this Prismatic, though, that you mentioned, is that the one that the Costco that people are fighting over and all stuff? Is this like the new latest release that everyone wants?
That one is actually called a set of 151. So they did a print of the original 151 Pokemon, but gave it a modern spin to it. And that set has actually been out for a few years already. And it came off well-liked. It came off pretty good value as well. But it slowly tapered off because they printed so much of it. And then once we got, I'd say, towards September of 24, maybe even October of 24, things started picking up a little bit. You saw supply of that set go a little bit down, and then all of a sudden you started seeing people chase the cards. They're like, oh, you know, this Charizard in a PSA 10 at the time, maybe it's $300. By the time end of October hit, it's like $500. By the time of September, it's $700. And by the time we're here now in present day January, the card is $1,000. So from September to January, the same Charizard, you know, essentially almost quadrupled.
That's crazy. So can you just throw out a few things that people might want to look for when they're out, you know, shopping, like a few brands or whatever that are good buys that can, you know, maybe, you know, 2-4x whatever, as far as, you know, listing online listings and things like that?
Yeah. So as we'll just talk about the Costco box real quick. That box is super cheap. It's only $45 and you get 12 packs. So it's like super great value because MSRP for a pack is supposed to be about $5 right now is MSRP. So you're getting super value and it's a great set. So that box itself is automatically 2-3x as soon as you pick it up. The Prismatic Evolutions is almost the same thing. You can get about 2-3x as well. And then we also have another set coming out in March, which is called Journey Together. That set is already reaching pre-orders of 200 to 250 a booster box. And to put it in perspective, MSRP is only at 160, and usually hobby shops, LCSs, you know, sell under MSRP. So it's supposed to be 130, maybe 120 on release, but we're already seeing pre-orders sell out for close to $250 a box.
Wow.
So you can expect that one to be the same deal in March already too.
That's crazy. So is it like, are you better off buying singles of the cards you like or buying these booster boxes? Like, how is it comparable to like sports cards? I always tell people, like, ripping packs and wax is fun, more fun, but if the value is not there, like, if you just want to go buy the card that you want, and you're better off in the long run as far as money goes. What about for Pokemon TCG? Is it the same thing, or is it, hey, it's still affordable enough to buy these boxes?
I'd say it has to do with the times. I say if you rewind back 6 months ago, maybe a year ago, you'd probably get some pretty good value for ripping. As always, I'm pretty sure with everything ripping, you're probably, you know, going to be more towards losing money than making money, but you still have the fun factor. As of right now, if you're getting secondary market, or even just picking up stuff from LCS with a little bit of a high tax on it, it's probably going to be very hard to make your money back, if not make money. Mm-hmm. But I understand that people want to chase, so that's also a problem. And where, you know, the supply is just so low that maybe you don't have an ability to get it at retail or under retail or whatever it is, and you have to either pay the hiked price or wait it out, which I know a lot of people can't wait it out.
Yeah, because I talked to some local card shop owners that don't even, they kind of dip their toe in TCG, but they at this point admit, like, they have to. You know what I mean? Like, they have to have it in the shop. People buy it. It comes off the shelves, even at a higher price than retail. It's just a big moneymaker. And I talked to some people a couple years ago, and you weren't the only one that started pivoting to Pokemon. And I said, hey, what's up, man? Like, guys that are really successful in sports cards, too, by the way. And I said, what's up with the Pokemon Switch? He goes, just Kang. Think about how many people like football or like basketball or like baseball. There's a lot of people that are just sports specific. He goes, with Pokemon, the audience is just bigger. He's like, I can hit, and it's not just US. He goes, I can hit worldwide with this. Like, it's a world phenomenon type thing. You know, Asia, Europe. And he goes, I don't have to just be selling to Americans or whatever. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I see it. I just don't understand any of it. But yeah, I understood. And he's like, yeah, it's just so big right now. He goes, he couldn't pass up the opportunity to just go that route. And he's been there for a few years, just like yourself. So, I mean, do you see it the same kind of way? Is it?
I do. TCG for LCSs and stuff too. It's been tough because usually, you know, it depends on allocation and how much you've been ordering in the past. And it probably hasn't made them, you know, super big margins in the past. So they're probably dialed back a little bit on that. And then once the boom kind of, you know, set in, probably tried to order a bunch more and got cut back. So that's another big problem, is that a lot of the bigger LCSs are sports centric. So being that, they've already, you know, cut down a ton on their TCG, whatever it may be, One Piece, Pokemon. And then that's going to, in turn, you know, they have nothing for the public. They have nothing at good prices for the public either, because, you know, if they're only getting 20, 30 boxes, that's maybe going to last like a day, maybe two if you're, you know, getting a little bit more.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, so, you know, if they've definitely invaded card shows, and now they're definitely starting to invade your LCSs, if not already, depending on where, you know, what your LCS does or their allocation, like you said. But they'll be willing to buy it off the secondary market as well, just to have it in store. You know, a lot of shop owners like to at least have the ability to sell it to you if you want it, even if it's at a higher price than they even really want to sell it at, but just to have it there and available for customers that are really itching for the rip or whatever, you know?
Yep.
So how do you feel about that? That they're, Is sports trading cards and TCG, can we exist? Can we coexist together happily, like at card shows and card shops? Or is this something that should remain separate from each other?
Personally, I think that the best shows are a little bit of a mix. We do have, you know, something like a Dallas card show where it's like super high-end, you know, sports, and everyone loves it for sports. And then you've got the other side of TCG where you have Collecticons, or you have TCG cons, card parties, where it's, you know, 99% TCG. Those are both great for, you know, each side. But I think as a whole, when we're all just in trading cards, it's just cardboard at the end of the day. And if we could coexist, I think it would be better, just because, you know, there was a time where Pokemon people bought sports cards, and now there's a time where sports people are buying Pokemon cards. Like, it's just going to go back and forth. And I think people are going to get to a point to where they're going to want to dive in a little bit more. They're going to want to research a little bit more, and then just have a little bit of you know, hey, maybe I'll do 20% Pokemon if I was always 100% sports. Let's just see how it does. And then I think that's just going to build upon that and get to a point eventually, hopefully, where it can just be, you know, one big show like our Lansing card show, to where it's almost 50-50 now, which is pretty crazy, because it used to be like a ton of sports and maybe like six people doing Pokemon. Now it's a little bit of a mix.
Dude, it's more than a mix, and I'm glad you brought up the Lansing Card Show. Is this Saturday, as time of this recording, on January 25th. It's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's in Lansing at the Lansing Mall. Avery Shoebox runs it. Dennis is the guy who runs the whole thing. It's a humongous show. It's probably the biggest card show in the state of Michigan. 200-plus vendors and tables once a month, every show, and I think it's supposed to be 230 this month, January 25th. You will be there. I will be there setting up as vendors. It's going to be my first time. You've been there a few times. I've decided, people, if you want, you know, to sell a bunch of my Michael Jordan doubles and duplicates, and from $1 Jordans to $1,000 Jordans, I'll have them out there. So come see me if you're looking for some Michael Jordans. If you're looking for some Pokemon TCG, go see my man Sean. But we will both be there Saturday in Lansing. And you mentioned when it started, it was always kind of a big show, but yeah, Pokemon was, yeah, like you said, maybe 10, 15, 20%. I honestly think it might be 50% now, Pokemon. And I say that, to me, it doesn't matter as much, because I'll tell you this one. I'm a type of guy, when I go to a card show, I like to hit up every table, okay? I mean, for me, if I'm driving out there, whether it's short or far, I want to try to see what everyone has. Admittedly, if I see someone Pokemon, I pretty much just skip that table. So it helps me get through the show faster. But the downside is, those are cards I never were going to look at. So it was a waste of my time, I guess you could say that, you know. But you're right, it's been 50-50. How do you feel? Have you heard from people coming up to your table? Have you heard rumblings? What are you hearing from people? Do they like this mix of Pokemon and sports together? Or are they like, hey, get out, you know what I mean? Like, we need to be separate. I know you just asked about coexisting, but what have you heard from just buyers and shoppers and other dealers?
It's a new thing. It's definitely a new thing, and it's going to be hard for people to grasp in the beginning. Even people that have done Pokemon or TCG at the show before, you know, they're a little bit on edge, like, oh, we've got more competition now. Before, we used to be, you know, one of the only 10, one of the only 5. At whatever show it may be, whether it's Lansing or a different show, and now all of a sudden you've got, you know, 5-6 times the amount of competition, because everyone almost has the same cards now. We're chasing the same things, or we're bringing the same boxes, so the competition is definitely there. I do see it, you know, some sports people, there's too much Pokemon here. Yeah. I get it. You know, it used to be a sports card show, so I understand where they're coming from. But I think there's an evolution to this. I think that it's not going to go away anytime soon. And even if the market does come down a little bit and a bubble pops, I think a lot of people are drawn to the nostalgia of Pokemon, you know, and it's like you said earlier, it's worldwide. There's, you know, Japanese Pokemon, there's English Pokemon. An example is, not to plug whatnot, but there's people that tune in from Germany, from Australia, and it's like all into Pokemon. I'm not sure the extent exists for a sports card that way. I know Asia does a lot of basketball, but I think it's just going to keep growing.
So I want to get back to the card show stuff and all that stuff real quick, but just because you brought it up. Is like the Pokemon and TCG over in like Japan, Korea, whatever, or overseas, is it worth more than Americans, or is it just different? Or, you know what I mean? Like, if I have a buddy who's going overseas, like, should I be like, hey, if you stop in LCS and grab me one, is it worth more? Is it just hard to get, or is it just different?
So it they tend to have the same artwork. They tend to be the same cars, just different languages. And this takes a lot of research into it if you're going to go into multi-language Pokemon cards, because there are some Chinese cards that do really well. There are some because they're exclusive or because the art is different. And then there's some Japanese cards that do better than English, but a majority for the US, English cards will do better than the Japanese counterpart.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just back to the coexisting and the Pokemon stuff. I just find this really interesting to me, because it's slowly, like, I think people could handle 50-50. Like, maybe they're like, you know, hey, it brings bigger crowds. There's more money coming in. Maybe some of those Pokemon people buying a sports card or two. You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't have had that customer otherwise before, and vice versa, maybe, right? Mm-hmm. But I think if it starts going over 50%, I think maybe we have like, maybe the sports card guy starts getting really upset. I don't know. I'm just, you know, I have no idea. I figure you'd probably know more than me because you set up at more places, you know, and then at these card shows, it is almost 50-50 a lot of these places now. So I think it's okay now. And if you really think about it, like, for example, most people, they collect a certain type of card or a certain type of thing they're looking for. So if it's ultra modern, they're not just skipping Pokemon. They're skipping vintage baseball, or they're skipping my, you know, 90s basketball because they don't care. They just want Wemby or, you know, Jalen Green or Cade Cunningham, whatever, right? The new stuff. And then vice versa. Maybe if you're there for just vintage stuff, you skip over all the ultra modern. The last thing you want to see is Wemby or CJ Stroud or Jaden Daniel, you know? Or maybe, yeah, so if you're there for Pokemon, you skip all the sports. If you're there for sports, you skip all the Pokemon. So I think, personally, I do think we can coexist, but I think it needs to be no more than 50-50. I feel like if one overtakes the other, especially if it's Pokemon over sports, it might be some kind of a hard feelings, but who knows, man. I feel like it is definitely headed that direction, though, because Pokemon's so crazy hot right now, man.
It may be that point to where, you know, Pokemon overtakes just for a little bit, because it's going to remain hot. Like the previews for the next few sets over the next like 6 months have already been shown a little bit, and people are really excited. But on the flip side of that, if we speak a little bit about sports, you know, with Fanatics and Tops kind of like coming through and Panini kind of getting phased out, hopefully that kind of brings retail back for sports, and then maybe it can balance out that way. I don't know what they're going to do, but hopefully they can, you know, really get retail back on track, because right now with the price hike and then the amount of less hits, it doesn't make sense, and it hurts the common collector or the person that just wants a couple of boxes, because they don't want to pay, you know, $60-$70 and get like 30 cards and 20 of them be base cards.
Dude, absolutely. Is there any drama going on with like the Pokemon TCG side? Like, I know you just mentioned Fanatics and Panini and all that stuff. So is there anything like that going on over there? Is everything peaceful right now?
I think everything is decent, aside from like the videos of Costco's and
yeah.
There's definitely been a little bit of an increase in fakes, though. So that's probably a big thing, especially in higher value cards. So got to watch out for that.
I don't advise this, but is it true? I saw like if you rip a Pokemon card in half, you could tell right away inside of a fake is different than inside of a real one or something.
Usually, but it's getting scary to the point to where, like, you know, a lot of fakes are pretty good these days.
Yeah.
Pokemon being on that card stock to where it's very easily to print.
Yeah.
It's getting scary, but just do your research. Don't, you know, think if it's too good of a deal, don't get it. Don't get it. It's not true.
Yeah. No matter what. Yeah. You're not getting one over everybody else for some reason. Right. You're not that lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So like, I mean, just authentication process. So people that don't know, you can get your cards graded as well, just like sports cards. Who's the leader on return on investment as far as Pokemon TCG and the grading site for you guys? Is it PSA as well? Or is it, you know, one of the other companies?
So Pokemon, I'd say the leader is definitely PSA. Beckett was there for a little bit, but only specifically black labels. Even the BGS10s are a little bit tough, a little bit less wanted, less comps. And once you get down to 9.5s in BGS, it's almost like no one really wants it, unless it's a specific card that's super hard to get in that grade. CGC is also on the rise for Pokemon. Actually, in TCG in general, they've actually turned their company around pretty well. They were probably near bankruptcy, near the bottom of the list a few years ago, but they've turned it around. They've changed their slab process and their slab look, and it's actually taken a liking to a lot of the TCG people. And I think another big thing is the turnaround time. PSA being backed up right now, I think about a month and a half on anything bulk, from what your estimated day was. And CGC, I believe, is about 3 weeks for bulk right now. So it's a pretty fast process, and people have been liking, you know, getting their cards back faster.
So PSA and CGC, probably the top two.
Yeah, I would say so. Mm-hmm.
And good for just authentication purposes too. Like if you're mentioning fakes and things like that, if you're a little, you know, worried, buy a graded card instead, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is it like, so you mentioned Charizard and whatever. Is there any other like notable characters that I should be on the lookout for? Like everyone knows who Michael Jordan is, Ron James, Kobe Bryant. Like I mentioned CJ Stroud, Wemby, Jane Daniels. Like what are the, you know, educate me and the listener here. Like what are some other characters that are, I guess they're so popular that, you know, you could always, I guess, hold on to them or people know who they are or, you know, sell them later.
Yeah. You know, Charizard and Pikachu are definitely top two.
Okay.
then you're going to come to a Pokemon called Umbreon. Umbreon is has the Evolving Skies, quote-unquote, Moonbreon, which really took off. It's one of the most iconic cards of the Sword and Shield era, which is kind of like a Pokemon era has like 4 or 5 years to it to where they'll print an era, and then they'll cut that generation of Pokemon off, and then they'll do another era. So that era is definitely huge on Umbreon and the evolutions. And then they also brought it back for this prismatic set. So the Umbreon itself in raw form right now is selling anywhere between like 1500 to 1900, depending on condition.
So when you mentioned earlier, just a second ago, actually, that like, you know, Black Label BGS or 9.5 is not even worth it. Like it's our Pokemon cards and stuff. They're just easy to be perfect. Is that like they should just come mint, you know what I mean? Centering, edging, all that stuff. Like you, there's not that much issues with condition in your world or what?
I say, it's on par with Panini.
Oh, okay. So they do have issues then.
Issues everywhere. Okay. All right. Centering issues, okay. Edge issues, some cards coming dented, some cards coming imprinted. Some, uh-huh.
Because is it all paper product or are there any chrome?
The only chrome was Tops in the 90s, but it's all paper right now.
Okay. You see a change coming or is it just going to stay this way, status quo?
I think they're going to keep it this way. I think they're not going to change anything that's, you know, not broken right now. They're just changing a little bit of the art style. They changed a little bit of the bordering. Like if Pokemon cards used to have a yellow border up until about a few years ago, and now they have a silver border. So they changed a little bit to kind of mimic the Japanese quality, because Japanese was always super good quality.
Yeah.
Versus our English quality has always been a little bit scuffed. Mm-hmm. But it does, you know, it has its merits, because, you know, not everything is going to gem. That means, you know, it's going to have a little bit lower of a pop, and then you get a little bit more margin on it.
So you mentioned also earlier that, I mean, TCG stands for Trading Card Game. This is supposed to be meant to be played. Probably originally how it was, you know, sold as, right, or marketed it as. Do people play with expensive cards where you win and lose those cards, or that's not even on the table? Like, I have a, you know, Charizard that's worth, you know, $2,000. I'm not playing with that card, am I?
I think some people probably do, but it has to have playability. There's actually been a huge uptick in a lot of people playing, because now they've also just came out with an app that you can kind of play against multiplayer, against someone else in an app. TCG Pocket or Pokemon Pocket. I forgot one of the names there. But they've had Worlds at Honolulu last year, and they had records amount of people there. So I think a lot of people are starting to pick up on wanting to play, just not collect anymore.
So at the, you know, like a lot of local card shops now are having nights where you could play against each other, game nights or whatever they're calling them, whatever. The people in there are playing for each other's cards.
It's not necessarily for each other's cards. Okay. So you kind of just battle. And then if you win, you move on to the next stage, and then you know, and then you get to a point to where, you know, there's a prize packs. Mm-hmm. So that's how they kind of give it. The Pokemon company itself will distribute prize packs to the LCSs, and you'll get, you know, a stamped card or some sort of winner card or whatever, where you get a special promo. So there, it's like, you know, for your time and you winning, you get some, you know, some special stuff for it.
All right. So you just said packs. What the hell is a God pack?
God pack.
I hear it. I see it. You know, I kind of see it. I don't know any of the cards or characters, like I said. So I don't know what a God pack is. Like, I imagine what a God pack means, like opening up, like back in the 90s, they had these things called hot packs where you could get, like, the whole pack was like all inserts or something like that. But then every card would be stamped with a hot pack on it. So what's a God pack? It's got to be something awesome, right?
That's crazy. So they have demigod packs, and then they have God packs.
Demigod pack and a God pack. To explain the difference.
Okay, so God Pack is probably easier to explain in terms of like sports. So imagine you hit a God Pack in sports, and all your cards were numbered in that pack.
Oh, so it's like, sounds awesome. God Pack already alone sounds awesome. Like, we need this in sports. That's what we should be taking away from Pokemon.
It's insane. You're hitting basically like...
How hard is it to hit a God Pack?
Oh, super hard, super hard. And not every set has them either. They've only put them out for a couple of sets. They're really testing it. It was a mainly a Japanese thing before, and English has just started catching on to it. So we've only had it for a couple of years, and I think maybe two sets only have them. But Prismatic has it, and eight of your cards will be a special illustration rare, which are the chase cards in the set. Uh-huh. So you're basically hitting eight of what, maybe 10 of the top chases or something like that, eight of them. And then a demigod pack, you get three. So it's a little bit less in terms of numbers, but it's still something crazy to where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm still hitting something, you know, like three in a row. It's crazy. It's like you're getting a gold and then all of a sudden an orange and all of a sudden a red. And you're like, what is this pack?
I can't believe that they haven't done, Panini hasn't done that yet, and maybe Fanatics will do something like that. That's, I just like the name, sounds amazing itself. Like a God Pack. Awesome. Or like a God Box or something, right? Like mm-hmm. something crazy.
I mean, I like how sports is bringing the mangas and the anime.
Oh yeah, you're true. That's true. Like the most popular ones seem to be like the creative illustration ones for sports too. Like you're right. I mean, even the Kabooms and Downtowns have something, you know, going like kind of crazy around.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're right about that. Maybe that is kind of probably taken away from Pokemon TCG.
Yeah, I think so. And we'll probably get to a point, I don't know when, but we'll probably get to a point where there's serialized numbers in Pokemon. I don't know when, but, you know, when push comes to shove, they always have that in their back pocket.
Yeah.
Because a 1 out of 100 Charizard, like, just imagine.
Is there any autos, like Illustrator autos or anything like that?
No autos necessarily, but if you can get, you know, some of the most popular artists to autograph your card and then you kind of grade it after, it could definitely raise the value of it.
Interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So one last piece of advice you would give anyone that's thinking about getting in on this Pokemon craze, any advice you would give them and what's going on right now?
Don't buy blind.
What's that mean?
Don't waste the money. just because you see other people doing it and chasing is going to kill you in the long run. I know people just want to kind of like do it for the quick flip. That's fine if you know what you're doing, but eventually it's going to catch up. And if without the research behind it on every Pokemon set or just getting a general idea of Pokemon, it's gonna hurt eventually. Like this bubble is very, very big in my opinion right now. Even though there's a lot of new collectors, a lot of new people dipping their toes in Pokemon, I don't think it is sustainable because where is all the money coming from? How are, you know, every top chases coming to 5X to 3X, whatever it may be? Like, it just feels like it's inevitable. I don't know if it's going to be this year. I don't know if it's going to be next year, but something will happen.
Mm-hmm. So real quick, I know your MMD cards, that's like M as in Mary, MMD cards. You're on Whatnot. How often do you Whatnot? What do you do on Whatnot?
So right now we're breaking packs on Whatnot. We want to do singles in the future and just do like the sudden death style. But right now we're just trying to build the audience up and just break packs, cheaper packs, a little bit more expensive packs, whatever it may be. The schedule isn't so set, but we're doing like 3 or 4 days a week right now. And it's typically 10 p.m. EST. So we'll usually choose, you know, a weekend or two and then 2 weekdays. I'll have a set schedule eventually, hopefully.
It's probably what does good. MMD stand for? Does it stand for something?
That's funny. Like not a lot of people ask me that, which is pretty crazy. But quick little backstory. I don't want to, you know, bore everyone to death, but it's for
Mr. Please don't.
And that came from me playing an app game called Clash Royale, which I put as my username. Because my son came out, was born at the time that I was playing the game, and he had a little bit of a older look to him instead of like that you know, little baby look. So I was like, I always called him Mr. Man, and I was like, what's up, Mr. You know, he's a new board, and I'm calling him Mr. Man. And then I created the tag for that game, and then ended up doing pretty good in that app and playing esports for a little bit there, went to Paris for it and everything, and played some tournaments, and I was like, all right, this name's gonna stick. It's good luck.
So MM stands for Mr. Man. What's the D stand for?
Dad.
Oh, okay. All right. You see, no disrespect, Sean. The only reason I asked was so it would be easier for people to find you and hear what I was saying. Mr. Man Dad. So MMD cards. Yeah. On Whatnot, and they'll be breaking packs, and you can get in, and he's trustworthy. And also, you have YouTube, which is it the same for the YouTube? If you search and so try to subscribe to your channel?
Yep, same for YouTube.
Mr. Man Dad Cards. MD Cards.
Yeah, it's so much easier to say MMD.
For sure. MMD Cards on YouTube. Make sure to subscribe. But now I know you're just getting into it, so I know that POV of at card shows I think it's a good style, honestly. I enjoy some of the YouTube rabbit holes I get down is I love going to card shows, so I can't, obviously I'm only hitting the Michigan ones up, but I love seeing what other people are doing in other states. And so a lot of the YouTube videos I watch are of card shows, of POVs, of guys just going through, you know, other card shows, going through dollar boxes, going through the showcases, whatever. And so I kind of like that. And you're doing it with Pokemon, which is cool. So I assume you're going to bring the camera up to Lansing as well?
Yes, yes. We'll be recording. Getting back on track with the vendor POVs. The holidays kicked in and, you know, it's probably been since November since we've had a real, real show of Lansing, but excited to be there, excited to see the show and see everyone with the cards and we'll see how it goes.
You got two tables, right?
Yep, I have two tables. My cousin will be there too. He also does Pokemon and One Piece, so he's got a nice, you know, little stack as well, so come check us out.
I'll check you out and try to make a cameo on the video, but I don't know where I'm going to be. Hopefully I'm by you, so I stop by and say hi, but it's a long day, man, and you know, you got to be at your table because so many people come through, right? I mean, it's 230-plus tables and a lot of people coming through.
Yeah. Suggest if you can, you know, have a significant other, a cousin, a brother, or something, a sister, so that you can kind of like take a little lap, walk around, see what's going on, because it does get pretty busy to where you're almost stuck at your table, you know, 24/7.
Yeah. This is my first time setting up, so I know, I mean, when I go as just a buyer or collector, I usually go with my brother, and it takes us, shoot, 3-4, you know, because we're trying to hit up every table, 3-4 hours, you know, and then we grab food before we leave and head back, and that's another, you know, hour and a half, 2 hour drive, depending on where you're coming from, if in the Metro Detroit area. And so now as a vendor, I'm going to be there all day. So it's like, and I'm not going to be able to see any tables. So I that takes that part out of it for me, but hopefully I make some sales and it's all worth it. So come see us in Lansing this Saturday, January 25th, 10 a.m., 4 p.m. is the show. Lansing Mall, free admission, free parking. Going to be Pokemon, going to be sports, going to be 90s, going to be ultra modern, going to be vintage. Should be something for everybody. Check it out. Sean, man, I appreciate you coming on, man. Let's do it again.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Sean, like I said, MMD Cards on Whatnot, MMD Cards on YouTube. Everyone, thank you for listening. And as always, well, hey, actually, if you have any questions or anything, feel free to email me at kangcollects@gmail. That's K-H-A-N-G, collects@gmail. I've been getting people sending me like questions about their collection, where they should go and all that stuff. I'd love helping people out. I probably can't look through it because I don't have the time, but I can hopefully direct you to somebody that does. And if you have Pokemon or One Piece or TCG, I'll probably direct you to Sean. So hit me up on that. You can send me pictures through email, send me questions, whatever it is, kangcollects@gmail. As always, guys, I appreciate you listening. Keep collecting.